Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ben, Tommy and Adam here. We're talking to you before the episode starts.
Which we've already recorded and it's good. We're here to let you know that we are doing a live episode of this at the European Beer Cafe, Saturday, July 14th at 4 p.m. Tickets on sale now, filthycasuals.com.au. It's a full-on live show. We're writing silly little bits for it. We're going to dick around. We're going to chat.
Yep.
It's going to be different to what we do on here.
Yeah.
But,
I play Mr. Mistopheles. Ben is Rum Tum Tugger. And Tommy refused to dress up.
We'd love to see you guys down there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're in Melbourne on July 14th, come through. We'll be hanging out afterwards.
We may not be releasing it as an episode. So if you want to come and see this live loose shit, be there in person.
Yep. Enjoy the ep. Please. Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Hello, filthy animals. It's Ben Vanel, and joining me on the couch this week...
Hello, filthy animals. Good morning, video games. Hello, nurse. I'm the only gay in the village. Behave. I'm trying to think of every catchphrase that I can.
Yeah. So in order, it
Mr.
was...
Mr. Sheffield.
Okay, so in order, that was Ben Vanel, Tommy Dasilo.
Ben Vanel again.
the Animaniacs.
Yep.
Then what was after that? Little Britain.
Yep.
Austin Powers,
yes.
And then The Nanny.
Yep. The only shows that ever had catchphrases.
That's true.
If only you'd remember The Simpsons. Don't!
Eat my
ass.
Is that a catchphrase, though? Has he said that enough for it to be a catchphrase?
100%.
Which one? Dole, eat my shorts.
You're being fucking silly.
I'm being a little bit facetious.
Eat my shorts is no longer a catchphrase because he just doesn't say that anymore.
Yeah, they got sick of that after like one season.
Really quick.
But remember early on, Bart's like the main character where they're like, people are going to go goo goo over this like bratty kid.
Which they did.
They did. And then they're like, hey, you know what? We got to put a bit more time into this dumbass neglectful father. Did you guys see that Vice article about that person who had never seen The Simpsons and they watched like 8 episodes?
No.
And they hated it.
Oh, which episodes?
It was something they...
And also, fucking fuck off, Vice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I watched The Simpsons on mushrooms and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
No, of course you fucking didn't because you're a dumbass because you write for Vice, shithead.
Whoa.
And also, oh, man, Vice is so dumb. Wow. Some of the stuff on there.
I flicked my bean to Treehouse of Horror 3 and here's how quickly...
Yeah. I fucking made myself throw up every day and now I feel a bit worse. Like, of course you fucking do, idiot.
Oh, yeah. Man, I would love to do a podcast that's just all it is us coming up with fake Vice articles.
I read and then Vice every day and I got dumber. How's that?
Well, this was one where I saw it. It came up on my feed a bunch of times and I was like, fuck this. And then, I don't know, I was just on a tram and bored and I was like, all right. And then within a line, I immediately was like, I'm so angry at myself that this clickbait eventually got to me.
Fuck.
But yeah, the writer, they went to like some guy who like used to teach a Simpsons and philosophy course or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like,
angry.
This guy also is no good.
Yeah. He's like, here are the 10 episodes I think you should watch. And you know, there's some dog shit calls in there. Ugh. But yeah, I think it's a lady. She's like, I just hate how like shit and rude and neglectful Homer is. Like that pisses her off. Like it's a cartoon.
Also, like to be fair, a lot of people thought that in the 90s as well, and they were all parents of children who had to watch only ABC.
Yeah, right.
Like that has been a pretty common thought about that show for a long time.
That Homer's shitty dad.
That everyone in it's rude and mean.
Yeah, but that was why it was so popular when it started, because, and the same with Seinfeld, where sitcoms up until that point had been very like, yeah, you know, big hugs at the end and there's a lesson and everyone loves each other. And then this show comes out where, you know, everyone's hanging shit on each other, which is, you know, kind of the norm on TV, and also been very influential in the world of podcasting too, you stupid cunt.
Hey, fuck off, dickhead.
Fuck your shit.
Fuck your shit?
No, but like it could be either type of your. So
what are you looking up?
So a few years ago, friend of the show Murphy McLaughlin and I put together our top 10 Simpsons episodes of all time.
I'm not going to allow you to read this.
I just thought, you know, the fact that this dumb fucking philosopher cunt has pitched his own. Are we going to ignore that? Or?
Nah, Tommy picked up a glass and two coasters fell off of it somehow.
Yeah, it was on top of two coasters. The bottom one fell off immediately and then the one attached to the glass hung there for a couple of seconds before itself succumbing to the exact same fate.
And that's a Simpsons episode.
The biggest question is, how was the bottom one attached to the other coaster?
No, it's your house. You fucking tell us. We don't know what's going on. You know, we don't know what kind of weird shit you're doing in here.
I mean, I'll give you one guess. What could have stuck it together?
Read the list.
Okay. Marge versus the monorail.
Yeah.
Lemon of Troy with the lemon tree.
Yep,
definitely.
Last exit to Springfield.
Which one is that?
That's the dental plan one, right?
Yeah.
I never really liked the dental plan one.
I like it.
I especially don't like the dental plan Lisa needs braces part of it. Dental plan Lisa needs braces.
Yeah, we know it.
I just wanted to see if I could do Lenny and Marge.
Lisa needs braces,
Rocky. You're never going to win this fight unless you get Lisa some braces.
Mr. Plow is in there.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Homie the Clown is one of my absolute favorites. Has the seeing double two Krusty's joke.
Best joke that's ever been made.
Yep. Treehouse of Horror 5, which has the shinning.
Oh, yeah.
Time and Punishment and Nightmare Cafeteria.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cape Fear.
Yep.
The Sideshow Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cape Fear. With the rakes.
50 rakes.
Yeah.
Yes. Homer at the Bat, the softball episode.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Burns has done it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
22 short films about Springfield.
No, that's not in there for me.
You don't like the Pulp Fiction?
I don't love it.
The high points of that episode are really high.
Mm.
The low points aren't great. But
and it's in that realm where the show is like on its way
the tail
to
end.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. And I think You Only Move Twice is the Hank Scorpio episode.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Which has got some good shit. The hammock jokes are very funny.
I would have replaced Last Exit to Springfield with the B-sharps.
Oh, okay. that's great.
That's
fair.
Simpsons at like the sort of heartstrings tugging one as well.
And ultimate parody, sort of.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Maggie one, do it for her.
I'm not into the Maggie
one. I like the ending.
Yeah, the
ending's a good ending.
The ending's good.
Let's put
the end of that at the end of the B-sharps episode.
Homer advertising the bowling place with a shotgun out the front, just blasting it into the air.
Yeah, fuck.
That's good stuff. I wouldn't have those last two on there.
Mm.
I think all the others are good, but also it's kind of hard to accurately comment without seeing a list of other ones that I
would
tell you what, put in there. We sure are three white men doing a podcast.
I'd probably put Soup Nazi in there ahead of 22 short stories about Springfield.
Yeah.
The one where Ted Danson comes and visits Frasier.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The one where Marissa kills Ryan's brother in the OC, in Orange County, the OC.
Yes. Yeah.
Put that on because it wasn't readily apparent what I was talking about.
The one where Ross accidentally says Rachel.
Yes.
Okay.
When he's trying to order a burger.
Yes.
Now, what do you guys think?
Can I get a Rachel, please? And they're like, "What the fuck do you mean, Ross?"
What do you guys think of Friends?
I watched all 10 seasons of it, and it's fine, and it's dated.
It's dated.
I was never into it.
Really?
Originally, so yeah.
I think comedy-wise, it's still fine. It's still pretty funny.
Mm.
There's good characters.
Bits of it are good.
I think the only bits of it that I like in the context of 2018 is the gay panic. I think everything else I could do without. All the stuff about friendship and relationships and, you know, having a meaningful bond with the people around you. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It feels a bit low now, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's, people don't really behave that way. But
I like
hey,
how Joey...
people thinking that you're gay, it's still... Oh, sends a chill down my spine.
That is evergreen.
7.5 seasons in that idea.
I liked how Joey liked big sandwiches and stuff. I was always into that.
Yeah.
He just loved to eat food.
How he'd unhinge his jaw when he tried to eat.
He eats and he fucks.
Yeah. That's the most relatable stuff.
Is that still happening in modern sitcoms where eating you can have like male characters that are just absolute fuckhounds?
They got older and they got creepier, I believe what happened.
Yeah, like so Two and a Half Men.
Two Broke Girls and whatever as well. Like the one who likes to fuck is like the old man.
Right.
And he's like, I wish I could fuck. In Two Broke Girls.
What about that guy, Neil Patrick Harris's character?
From
I Met Your Mother.
Barney loved to fuck.
He did.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That show sucked.
I've never seen that show.
Always hated it. Not very good. Is why.
Yeah, well, I never found it funny. I'm a big Jason Segel fan. So when it's on, I watch it because I like him. It's fine, it's well made.
You've had a difficult 5 years as a Jason Segel fan. Yeah.
Just the Muppets soundtrack over and over again.
Yeah, because he hasn't done anything.
Right.
Because he died 5 years ago.
Yeah. What? Wow. Turns out I'm not as big of a fan as I thought.
Yeah.
If I wasn't even paying vivid attention to his death.
Mm.
Look, you know, there's a saying out there that no news is good news.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're doing a podcast where you talk about news in the video games world, well, you know, the opposite is true. No news is bad news for us.
I don't know. This has been a pretty good tear we've been on for 10 minutes.
Remember when the nanny did that claymation episode?
Really?
Yeah, for Christmas.
I don't remember that at all.
Do you mean Community?
No, I mean The Nanny. Community sucked because most of its fucking brilliant ideas, people were just too young to remember, had all been done before.
Okay. That's interesting.
Mm.
It's not interesting. It's true.
It's interesting because it's true. There was a clay animated episode of Conan, I remember, that I found it really funny that they did that. They just had already done they took the audio of just an episode.
Yeah.
But it's just clay animation of him just talking to people on a couch.
They did a claymation episode of Wallace and Gromit once.
Fuck, I was just about to do that with Plasmo.
Too bad,
you
motherfucker.
Absolute cunt.
This is the second day in a row I've talked about Wallace and Gromit, by the way.
Oh.
Last time I talked about it was last night in bed with my girlfriend.
Wow. Wow.
Jeez, girlfriend. Dick chase.
So right. She's British. Yep. She's like saying all that shit to you. And you're just like, your ears are just flapping around.
I want to try something new. I want to try on the wrong trousers.
Nice.
You kind of look like Gromit. You're colouring at the moment. Yeah. That jacket.
It's pale.
The wrong trousers holds up.
There's a couple of bits of news if we want to quickly go over them.
Do we have to?
There was that Summer Games Done Quick thing. They raised more than $2 million for Doctors Without Borders, which is pretty good.
Cool.
Good on them.
Yep.
I feel like doctors need borders. You don't just want some doctor like wandering in wherever he pleases and just operating on someone just because he can.
A doctor just free falling horizontally forever. You know, when someone falls into a void in a show, they go like,
if only there
had been a wall or a floor, then no borders at all.
Yes.
They need boxing up in some way.
I mean, they have that like Hippocratic oath. Surely that gives them borders.
True. No, isn't that just like I have to operate on everyone? I don't know what the rest of it is.
Oh, yeah, it's the opposite of borders.
Yeah.
You have to first do no harm, I think, is the oath.
Which is also for everyone.
It should be,
Everyone takes that oath, sort of. And then, I think it's anyone who is in need of help, I have to help them.
Right.
Unless I live in America. End of political statement.
Oh.
Wow.
Uncharted creator Amy Hennig has departed EA and her Star Wars game is on the shelf.
Right.
Didn't this happen 2 years ago?
6 days. No, she left Naughty Dog 2 years ago, then was with EA, or like a year ago, was with EA making a Star Wars game.
But then they cancelled that game
instead of 1313, and then they said the game was... They didn't say anything about it for a while. Anyway, she's left. That game is done.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay. But she hadn't actually left at that point, I believe.
Right.
But she's left two places... Oh.
I think what they did was pivot the game away from being single player.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
There's been a whole bunch of shit happen with EA and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like they haven't gotten it right, really.
Yeah.
So that fucking franchise with them continues to be shit. Mm. Also, at what point does... Because she made Uncharted.
Yeah.
Mm.
At what point does she lose that capital?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because that's fucking 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did she not direct two as
she
well?
She did two as but well. That's fucking 10 years ago,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Like... It's
that'd be so frustrating for her to just in limbo for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to leave that company where you'd go, well, I'm leaving for something like better. I'm getting to make a Star Wars game.
Yeah.
And for that to have like fallen over pretty publicly. Yeah, people only remember the last big thing attached to you.
Willing to bet as well, if she'd have made a Star Wars game, there would have been a bunch of people being like, remake that game. Remake it. You got it wrong.
I think I'm lost.
People are doing that with the Star Wars movie.
What's Star Wars?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's a children's movie.
That makes adults very angry.
Yes. No, I know what you were talking about, and good call.
It sucks what people are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, The Last Jedi sucks.
Ooh. Yeah. It's not a very good movie. Yeah. But neither was The Force Awakens or Return of the Jedi.
No.
Or Force Awakens any of the other good. Star Wars movies in most ways. The Force Awakens is worse than The Last Jedi.
No way.
Wow.
Listen,
this is huge.
I can't be fucked doing this. Star Wars is not a topic that should be covered on a podcast. There's just not enough of it.
You went to KFC on the way here. Why don't you tell us about that?
I'd love to hear about
Why
that.
Why are we just... I've got news right in front of me. There's a new Overwatch hero. You're not going to learn that in your local KFC.
The Colonel?
Did you learn it in my local KFC on your phone?
Probably did.
I learned it right now on my phone. No, I do actually know this. He's a hamster in a big ball.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Richard,
not a lot's
Richard
happened.
The Hamster Hammond from Top Gear?
Yeah, that's who. It's Richard the Hamster Hammond, and he's in a big ball, and he drives it so fast that it crashes, and he gets a little bit of brain damage, but no one ever brings it up.
Yeah, fuck.
Great.
Very
they
good.
Should. That would be cool if Overwatch just started like kind of putting real world people into the game as characters. And they started with Richard Hammond from Top Gear.
Hey, speaking of putting real world people into the game,
yes.
I finally watched Ready Player One.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, we never really got around to doing that, did we?
We were all thought it looked too shit to actually spend money to see. Yeah.
No, I think we wanted to, but it came out like the week that Comedy Festival started.
Yeah, and then we went and saw Rampage instead.
Yeah. I'm happy to see shit things to talk about on that Rampage episode was really fun.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that again.
Yeah,
we just
I don't
couldn't
know why
find the time to do it.
Yeah.
Now let's me and Adam, let's try and predict. Do you think he liked it or not?
Well, he liked The Force Awakens, so I reckon he loved Ready Player One.
Wow. Yeah, I reckon
it reminded him of all those things from his childhood, like the Millennium Falcon and Han Solo.
Han's Solo.
Hans Across America.
But he's also got a big anti-boner for nostalgia stuff, so I reckon that's
Stranger Things, remember?
Yeah.
I reckon you were in the middle about it.
Okay, put in your head now what you'd a rating you'd give it out of 10.
Okay.
I reckon 6.5.
Nah, it is going to be lower than that, but it's going to be like it was surprisingly okay. It like 4.
Ben's got his fingers to his temple like he's doing a medium reading.
I'm trying to telepath it to you. Like 1 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
I fucking hated
it. I was right.
It was almost not a movie. Like it was almost all CGI, like bad, poorly directed video game cutscene stuff. No tension. Looked bad, like gross, muddy, grey colours.
Because I was always, like the trailers always look like that, but I always assumed it was like compression from YouTube or something.
Right.
No, it's that's how it looks. Like there's maybe one or two bits that have colour and light and are dynamic and interesting, but mostly it's just meh. The actors are meh. Ben Mendelsohn's shitty in it. Like it's...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's good in The Last Jedi. No, Rogue One.
He was, and I like him.
Rogue One is good.
He's been in some really good Australian films, like Animal Kingdom. He's fucking great.
So good.
He's a good actor, but yeah, it's an awful film.
That's because The Post, I watched The Post on a plane recently, and that was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking maybe Spielberg still has it.
Yeah, I think everything about what this movie was always going to be was always going to be shit.
Does it have the same tone of the books of like, of the book, of the kind of grubby, real nostalgia wank, or is it just like it shows up in the background but it's just a boring story?
It's kind of all of it. Like it's always in the background and it's a boring story, and the moments it is injected in the forefront is done tactlessly and grossly.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I would hate it because I thought the same thing about Wreck-It Ralph.
Right.
I remember thinking that fucking sucked with like, hey, look, it's Pac-Man, and you're like, everyone knows Pac-Man. Anyone can write a Pac-Man joke.
I would be
for example. Waka Waka.
Yeah,
that's a fucking good Pac-Man joke, actually.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Who's Pac-Man's favorite rapper?
Who's Pac-Man's fuck off. Who's Pac-Man's favorite rapper?
Waka Waka Flame.
I thought you were gonna say Tupac Man.
Oh, that's also good.
That's also, yeah,
that's
there we
also
go.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friend of the show Angus Truscott said about Ready Player One that I thought was very interesting. That in the book,
yes.
made the same mistake that he did.
Yeah.
That it's there's scenes where it's like, you know, Link from The Legend of Zelda is having a pizza with a fucking Marine from Halo or whatever. Like it's kind of limitless. It can it can be whatever that writer thought. Wouldn't it be cool if these two people hung out? But the movie is so bound by what studios have the rights to, what properties,
right,
that the pool of things that they've been able to use is extremely limited. And if anything, the thing you're most aware of while you're watching it of like, is like, oh yeah, they couldn't really get that much stuff to be in this.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it was so overwhelmingly bland and boring though as a movie that I just found it even hard to pay attention. I think you would really struggle to watch it all the way through.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this doesn't sound like this was surprising to you, that this is what the film is like, which of course begs the question, why did you watch it?
I don't know. I don't even have that much free time. I just was curious. I just wanted to know.
You could have watched anything.
Yeah.
What about, have you seen Bernie?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, watch that again.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I enjoyed it. It was funny.
You ever seen Birdman?
Yeah, I love Birdman.
It's all filmed in one shot, so it's quicker to watch.
Yeah.
It's not like 100 shots like a normal movie.
You don't have to keep resetting your TV. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen Good Burger?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good film.
Goodfellas.
I've seen that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Mostly one shot. Not really.
I got to see The Godfather this year. I've never seen The Godfather.
I've
never seen The Godfather.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you've never seen The Godfather?
Adam, on my mother's life, I'm telling you, I've never seen The Godfather.
How are we going to convince him to see The Godfather?
Whoa. Hold up. I'm getting the impression you've never seen The Godfather.
Is this a reference from The Godfather? Yeah. I wouldn't know either way because I've never seen The Godfather.
Wait, you've never seen The Godfather?
But you've seen The Godfather Part 2, yeah.
Adam, it's double as true that I've never seen The Godfather Part 2.
Mm.
So you've seen half of The Godfather Part 1?
No, I've not seen The Godfather 1. I've not seen The Godfather 2.
Okay,
and
I'll stop
boys,
you there.
Strap yourselves in for this bombshell.
I feel like my question's about to be answered.
Godfather number 3. What do you reckon?
Favorite movie of all time?
Ain't seen it.
Whoa. Fuck.
I've seen Toy Story 3.
Okay.
I've seen The Ninja Turtles 3, where they go back in time.
Yes. Have you seen Father of the Bride?
I have not.
Okay, that's an all right movie.
I've never seen The Princess Bride.
Me neither.
I don't care to.
Mm.
Watch The Godfather. It's pretty good. There was a Godfather video game. There's a Halo TV show.
Wait, yeah, what?
That's
right.
Been like Halo fucking shit on the cards for probably 15 years or something for a long fucking time.
Well, there was that Halo Fall of Reach. Was that that like CGI movie?
Yeah, I think there's been a couple. Mm. I think there's one called Ascension or something like that as well.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
I think there are a couple of like... weird. There's like an animated thing. I'm not really sure. I've never bothered to watch any of them.
Well, there's all those books as well, right?
Yeah, there's a fuckload of books that seem dumb just because they're books.
Absolutely.
Books are for losers.
Yes.
But the progress on this one seems to be further along than any other project has gotten.
Yeah.
In the live action way. Because remember Peter Jackson was going to make a movie of it for a while there?
I don't remember that.
And then
I guess Waiter Workshop was involved in some way.
South African, God, what's his name?
Chappie?
Blomkamp?
Yeah, Neil Blomkamp, yes.
Chappie.
Chappie was going to direct it. yes.
I've never seen Chappie.
Chappie's good.
Is Chappie actually good? I thought Chappie was bad because people always make fun of it.
People don't like it, but I like it.
Oh, there you go.
It's just got a stupid fucking name.
Yeah.
Chappie.
It honestly makes such a big deal what your name is to in regards to people's perception of you, Tommy Dasilo, host of Filthy Casuals.
Man, this cuts real deep.
This motherfucker's never even seen The Godfather.
Mm. Dude, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Fuck off.
Cool, I guess. I don't know what that's from. Yeah, what's this on? This Halo. I did see the thing about it.
Xbox.
Stan, right? So I don't know what it is in the US.
Yeah.
I think it was a Stan ad over here.
FX maybe?
Yeah, it could be. Or a Showtime one maybe. I don't know. It's not Netflix.
Definitely not HBO.
Mm.
Can't get any HBO on. You ain't getting HBO on no streaming over here.
No.
Unless you got that Foxtel.
And yeah,
that Foxtel Plus or whatever it's called.
Go.
Foxtel Go.
Fuck yourself. Have you found what company's producing it, Knox?
I'm not looking for that.
Oh.
What are you doing then?
Yeah.
Oh, he's been staring at your phone for like a minute.
Well, I was just looking at what games we've played this week and our little dog.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm betting that at some point we need to start talking about that.
Yeah.
I didn't update that dog. Do you think we've treaded water enough?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
I feel high.
I'm not wearing my glasses, so I kind of feel like this isn't real in a way.
It is.
Oh, no.
You don't need your glasses to hear how long this has gone for. Of us going like, yeah, you guys ever seen Don't Mess With the Zohan?
I've heard that's good.
No, it's definitely not.
I've heard that it's...
I hear that about every fucking Adam Sandler movie pre like 2015. Mm. Where it's like, no, this one's funny again.
I went and saw it in cinemas on the night of release.
Yes.
With my friend Pete, who gets mentioned on this show a bit.
Mm.
G'day, Pete. And we went with our then girlfriends and we made them sit, me and him sat next to each other and we made them sit on the outer edges of us.
Yes.
And just get ignored by us and we loved it.
Oh, there's excellent.
A bit where he brushes his teeth by putting hummus on the toothbrush. That's good shit.
I like it.
That's good stuff.
All right.
Is he from a country that likes hummus?
Yeah, I can't remember which one, but he's, you know,
isn't
some
he
kind
like
of,
an Israeli
he's some kind
secret
of,
service guy or something?
Yeah, ethnic fucking weirdo. I don't know. I can't remember what the setup to him is.
Yeah, he is an Adam Sandler fan over here.
Oh, yes.
What's he got coming? He's got more of them Netflix movies coming out, probably.
I loved the Meyerowitz stories. I thought that was fucking great.
Yeah, I watched the first bit of that and got... I'm really not into the thing of people, like, the realistic conversation.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Where everyone's mumbling, you can't fucking
slowly
hear
talking
them.
Over... each
they're
other
going
sometimes.
Over and they start going back over there, like they're saying a sentence and they go back over it to repeat the sentence.
I actually really liked it. I enjoyed the overlapping dialogue. I think it was very naturalistic.
Got these fucking problems that they seem really stressed all the time in them.
It did stress me out.
And they always seem really stressed and just the sound of their voices and look in their faces makes me feel fucking stressed.
I think that's very relatable though.
Yeah, I think there's maybe another element of the film that actually subconsciously was making you not enjoy it, Adam. But anyway.
What's that?
A certain hummus-liking people very heavily involved.
Man, I like everyone. I like everyone who likes chickpeas. Do whatever, man. That's me. Just don't mess with the Zohan. That's all I ask.
That's
my only rule.
Okay, I'm going to try and rewatch the Zohan before we record again.
Okay.
I was genuinely thinking about just going through and watching every Adam Sandler movie. We did a Bandcamp episode that you can get now that was a commentary of Pixels.
Yes.
And I've just not really seen enough of them to really have the opinions on him I do.
Yeah, well, quickly, let's plug that again because I think that's our lowest performing Bandcamp episode.
By a fair way.
It's really good. We had a really good time.
Yeah, it's great. We'll probably continue to do them despite that because they were just fun. It was a fun afternoon.
Yeah, it was great. Get that. And Pixels is... the action stuff is good. Yeah, the film is not great, but we're being funny over the top of it. You'll have a good-ass time.
Yes.
But you revealed in that, was it in that you revealed that you've never seen, is it Billy Madison that you've never
or
seen?
Or Happy Gilmore, neither of
them. God damn.
I've seen Little Nicky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
And I've seen Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. Did you like Big Daddy? When did you see it, though? At the time of release?
Yeah, around it.
Okay. And even then,
I think it's
that
aged
formative
well.
Young age, you were like...
Dude, stop pissing on the wall. I remember thinking that. I was thinking that looks. Oh, don't be gross.
Yeah, that's
it has dated
the rules.
Badly because he goes into McDonald's and the breakfast is done at 10:30.
Yeah.
Any like 20-year-old watching that for the first time now would be like, the fuck's this guy on about?
It's like us seeing someone riding a penny farthing bike. It's like, why? Yeah, we can start talking about video games if we want.
Okay.
Like the penny farthing was before they'd invented the same sized wheels.
Yeah.
Every wheel was a different size.
They grew them. They hatched them.
Yeah.
And it was just whatever you got.
You ever seen two identical pumpkins? No. That's why there's penny farthings.
Yes.
I can go into what I played this week first.
Hell yeah.
Do you guys know Myst? Speaking of things not aging well.
Yeah, I never... Oh, I might have tried it when I was young, but I was probably too impatient to enjoy it.
So in my head, and for the longest period of time, this was the best-selling game of all time. Okay. In the Guinness Book of Records. Okay. Up until like 2002 or something when The Sims overtook it.
In your head?
Like, that is just the reputation it has to me.
Okay, right.
I don't mean that I just made up that fact.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought.
This was going to be a story about you finding out that that's never been true.
Oh, no. That was the case right. for a very long time.
Right.
And I think it's because a bunch of dads who bought their first computers bought Myst for whatever reason. Okay, right.
Yeah.
It was a very go around to your friend's house and there's the box of it on the third drawer in the dad's office that you're not meant to be in.
Yes, yes.
That was Myst.
Yeah, I have that same memory of it, yeah.
So
a couple of naughty boys poking around in their dad's study. Get out of there, naughty boys.
No, not my dad's, my friend's dad.
My friend's dad. Yeah. Where do you think friend's dads hide the porn?
A lot of gay panic with friend's dads.
Yeah.
So
that would be cool if they did a sequel to the show Friends and it's called Friends Dads. Fuck. And all their dads were friends as well.
I would like that.
Oh, they're all dads now and mums. Mums and dads and the kids.
So it's the friends, same kids. Friends.
Make it about the kids.
Like Muppet Babies.
Yeah, friend babies.
Friends kids.
Baby Rachel.
So you don't have to pay fucking, you know, Joey and whatever. Mm. They whenever they come on, because it's the kids, they're just standing just out of frame.
Oh.
They go like, you just use clips from Friends back in the day. And it's like, hey, Joey. The kid's named Joey too.
No, it's like Peanut style. So they're just like, that way they don't even have to pay to license the audio from the copyright holders of Friends.
And Matthew Perry is a famous trombone player, so he could do the noises.
Mm.
They still hire Matthew Perry and pay the full fee but never use his face.
I love Matthew Perry. I think he's very funny.
He is good. Mm. I remember liking the whole nine yards when I saw it at the time.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Anyway, Myst is... this is a 25th anniversary of it.
Okay.
And they've done this sort of re-release of them, so they all work on Windows 10 now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on special. I thought, I've never played these, and they're all together in a neat little fucking package.
Yep.
I'm going to fucking jump in here,
right?
All
right.
What, are you going to try and stop me? And so
Is this from The Godfather?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
It hasn't aged well.
Okay.
So it's like static screens, FMV style, and you click around it to move just a big jump forward.
Yep.
And you're looking around for stuff that looks like it's a puzzle, and you click on things and you remember what they are or write them down, and then you go and look for a similar symbol.
Right.
And you figure out the puzzles.
Okay.
And it's a fine one of those.
Mm.
I really like, I think I mentioned this before, those like room escape games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's basically that.
Right.
And you go around these sort of, it's got this dumb fucking story that is terribly acted with like FMV.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's sounding a lot like The Witness to me.
It's The Witness is definitely like a descendant of this.
Right.
But yeah, the actors are just the two people who sort of made the game.
Right. That's cool.
These brothers. And it's got this dumb story of this guy who like can write worlds into existence. And so you go into these books and it's the worlds that he's written.
Whoa, that sounds cool as hell.
Dear Diary, skateboard world. In this world, I'm the king of skateboarding and there's poles everywhere except if there's a pipe.
Ooh,
pipe
yes.
Australia is just pipes. Rampistan. There's the United Kingdom of grinding.
And also the brothers are the Daddo brothers.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
The best bit about that was it started with Dear Diary.
Yeah.
You know that just literally what you write is going to become a real world. You're still kicking it off with like
it's
a
not formal... even like Once Upon a Time. Dear Diary.
Dear Diary. Sexy woman world. And then you just stay just waiting for it to just like wash over.
Come on,
like...
you stupid fuck. Book? Why are you working? So yeah, it's like this dad and he does that and he's got these two sons and they've got real like shut up names, you know what I mean? You know when you hear that like dumb fantasy name of like the lead character in
Gramborius.
Exactly. The first book of the Durexian saga.
Yeah, yes.
Whatever. And so their names are Akinar and Cirrus.
Oh, fuck.
And you go, get fucked forever. Fuck off.
Gramborius is better.
Gramborius is really good.
Yeah. I remember when the Xbox was first out, the original one, we'd play like some multiplayer Halo at my friend's house, and there was this demo disc that came with it, and there was this trailer for a game called Azeric Rise of Parathia that we would sometimes watch because it was so funny. Because there was this one bit in the trailer where it got up to this guy's face, he went, Balthazar. What are you doing here? We found the name Balthazar. So
what was the name of the game again?
Azeric.
The
Rise of, and then it started with a P and it was like Parathion.
Oh, man.
It's, I was going to say, it's incredible that you can remember that.
Yeah.
We genuinely watched that trailer about 50 times.
Right.
Because the way the dude said Balthazar was funny, but nothing about these dumb idiots is funny. No, they're not that bad. They're doing their best.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's the same thing as, remember Obduction? I played that a couple years ago.
Obduction.
And reviewed it on this. Obduction. It's the same people who made it years later. There was an actor in that who kept going like, in between every line. And that was his way of acting.
Ah, yeah.
So like if
he hates acting, he's so bored of it.
It would be furrowing your brow. Would
exactly.
Be another, yeah.
If he had to say like, you need to go to the caves. There are people in the caves. The people aren't happy. Make the people happy. He'd go, you need to go to the caves. There are people in the caves. The people aren't happy. You need to make the people happy. You know what I mean? Just instead
of.
And it gives them time to think of the next fucking line and it sucks.
Sure.
He's such an idiot. He's like, you got to like talk and you got to remember the next line. And you got to breathe. You got to remember to breathe. Yeah. And he's like, never had to do more than two things at once before. So he's like, Just gotta have breathing at the forefront of your mind.
And so that's the dad character is doing that all the time to try and add weight to it. And then one of the brothers who this guy also plays is like a crazy brother. And so he's going like, whoo, like fucking, you know when Daffy Duck goes mental?
Yeah. Bangs himself on the head with a mallet. Yeah.
He's going like, ooh, get the blue pages. And you've got to get the blue pages for him. And then the other one's like this rich guy. He's like, please get the red pages.
Yes.
It's so annoying. But at the time it was like, whoa, these people are moving on my screen. What the fuck?
Sure.
That's good stuff. We should all do that every time we speak
on
this podcast.
I've heard you do it all of these
on.
Times and it's really bothered me every time.
Hey, I've got the headphones in, bro. I keep hearing it right in there. Oh, stop it.
This is like that fucking asthma shit.
Yeah. I'm doing it for the handful of people that are into that. They're loving this.
Yeah. No, they're not.
You know what would be funny?
Yes.
I'm going to do this. Making a bunch of like asthma things on YouTube and then halfway through just putting like a seagull go.
That's from The Simpsons.
Bit of a Simpsons joke I just realized.
From The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's the foghorn and everything. Yeah. But it'd be funny.
I'm pretty sure it's from Community, actually.
You're right. They probably did steal it in Community as well. Anyway, it's fine as a puzzly adventure game thing. It's all pretty simple and straightforward, and it's annoying to get around because it doesn't have a uniform way of moving, like left, right, whatever.
Mm.
So clicking around to different areas of the screen can sometimes be confusing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not particularly well laid out. There's no map. So you'll get disoriented sometimes.
Grim Fandango does a little bit of that, where you walk into a room and then it's the room that you're in is in like a different perspective.
And you'll walk back out.
Yeah. Heavy Rain did that. Detroit did that a little bit.
And it's hard for this because it's not in proper 3D. So, and you need to know where everything is because there's a bunch of puzzles based on locations of things.
Right.
But it was kind of cool how you like needed a little notebook. And I got a notebook and I wrote down some things and I went through it. And it's very short. But I think I'm going to try and play the rest of them because it was quite relaxing.
Right.
At the same, like it's just sort of this old game.
I was going to say, for 25 years old, the fact that it's playable at all, you know, is a testament to it.
Yeah, and I didn't mind the style of puzzle that it had.
Fuck, it's fun. It's fun
it's
when
good.
You get it in the spot.
It's good shit.
It's good.
That's a problem because you can tell, you can see these people thinking they're fucking nailing it.
Right.
Because if you do it, it feels like... It really feels like you've taken a moment to think.
Yeah.
But fuck, it looks and sounds stupid.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
I was thinking like maybe the recorder, like the sound engineer was like, leave a break between the lines so we can edit in silence or...
No.
And then he's forgotten.
It's all the one take for every one of them pretty much. And in one of them, it's right towards the end. So you're getting these red pages and blue pages for these two brothers. If you don't want spoilers for a 25-year-old game that has a bad story, then get over yourself.
Yeah.
And then at the end, there's a really long take from either the blue book brother or the dad.
Mm-hmm.
They do this long, long thing. So they explain lots of shit to you. Basically lay out like everything that's going on. And then at the end of it, you can hear very vividly, you can hear someone go, Great, we got that one.
What?
Someone just like the whoever's recording it just went like, "Yep, yeah, well done, we nailed it."
No way.
It's just no way. It's so good.
Someone...
This was a very cheaply made game. Not cheaply made. I think some effort went into it, but like.
And at one point, this was the highest selling game.
And until 2002, and it came out in 93.
Wow.
Fuck.
So from whenever it hit that, I didn't until know, then,
yeah, 93
for a long ass fucking time.
Yeah. Well, what do you give out of 10?
Let's
try and predict.
Yes, okay.
Do the thing that I was doing, Knox.
I think 7.
Okay, he's rubbing his eyes.
He's never heard an answer so correct before.
I'm getting 5 out of 10.
It is a 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because all the dressing on it bad, the puzzle's still relatively solid for most of them.
Okay,
cool. Fair enough. I played a bit of House Flipper?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking great. You don't like this stuff, but it's the building stuff from Fallout 4.
Don't fucking tell me how to live. Don't tell me what I do and don't like.
It is. And also, in Fallout 4, the town you start in, you get to walk all around it and clear up all the ruined houses and shit. It's basically that.
I think the difference is that Fallout 4, it felt like there was no reason to do it. And in this, it has a list of shit. And the bar fills up.
Yeah.
Which isn't a reason to do it.
No, yeah, yeah.
But genuinely, that little bit of a difference was enough for me to go like, yeah.
Right. See, I think I just always have that list in my head.
Right.
If I'm in a room, I'm like, how do I tidy this room up? So in Fallout...
You're like a fucking SWAT agent. You know how they walk in and they're like, they know where all the exits are immediately. Yeah. You walk in and you're like, mop that bit.
Yeah. Dust. Books aren't lined up. But I'm enjoying it. It's going to be a good relaxation game, I reckon.
Bringing it up just gave me a lot of anxiety because you saying it, I was like, oh, yeah, I should get that on my computer when I get home. And then that made me remember that right before I came here for about 45 minutes, the mouse clicker on my computer has like just randomly stopped working.
Ooh.
I was using it. It didn't work.
On your Mac?
I was like,
MacBook?
Yeah, my laptop. Oh, it must need to be reset. And so I reset my computer. Oh, no, that's still not working.
Fuck.
So that's just reminded me like, that's something I'm going to have to deal with tomorrow.
You've got a relatively old laptop that's been around the block as well. It's been to a few places.
I think you've had it for like 3 years.
There must have been a couple of beers spilled on that laptop. Come on.
I don't know when you ever would have seen my laptop. Oh, no, I bring it around here pretty
regularly. Yeah, and I remember seeing
about
it in
once
Thailand.
A week.
I remember seeing it in Thailand, like when you were like DJing some music at a thing one night.
And he smashed the keys really hard.
And it was like
hard.
Leaning at the end on this beach. And I was like, that is scary looking.
Yeah.
Leaning on the end? What do you mean?
This table thing where it was playing music from. A Mama Ninjas.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't fall off though.
Nah.
I got electrocuted when I touched it that night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Whoa.
Yeah. Did you not hear this story?
I heard about the electrocution. I didn't even know it was to do with your computer as well.
Yeah, well, my computer was plugged in and then I couldn't touch my computer without getting an electric shock.
Whoa. I reckon I know what might have happened to your computer.
Yeah. No, but, this, like, it's just laid dormant for 3 weeks. Like, the clicker just all of a sudden not
working.
That's
what happens.
It makes as much...
A lot of the times, men don't actually feel the symptoms until they've already passed it on to someone else.
Okay.
Symptoms of electrocution?
Chlamydia. It's just a chlamydia thing.
Yeah. I mean, I could get an external... I'm not fucked. I could get an external mouse and plug that. Like, I'll be able to back shit up on it.
I remember I had one of those old, like, white MacBooks, like, 10 years ago, and the first thing that went was the mouse clicker.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
God damn it.
My button on my phone doesn't work anymore as well.
Oh, yeah, the button on mine, my great Pixel that I love, the little, like, essentially the home button is starting to be a bit...
I dropped mine in a toilet, though, so...
I just press the button a lot. It's like it's wearing out.
Yeah.
I got that X with no home button, which I was very skeptical about them getting rid of the home button. Mm. Gotta say, I'm loving it.
Well, now it can't break.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because it don't exist.
I really hope I don't have to get my computer fixed. I'm about to have to move house and buy a bunch of new furniture and stuff. And I just do not. I do not need more.
Patreon.com/
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not need more.
Filthy Casuals podcast? Is that what it is?
I think so. Filthy Casuals pod, maybe. If you just look up Filthy Casuals, it's there. I've played... do you want to talk about some games, Tommy?
Yeah. I've been playing a little bit of the... DLC of Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
A game that you both froth on whenever it's mentioned.
Yeah.
And
rock,
I think
rock hard.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes, the Donkey Kong Adventure, I think it's called DLC for that.
Yeah.
And man, it's really, really great.
Yeah, nice.
We've talked a bit on the show about DLC and how it, I think we're all kind of the same, where it typically fails to sort of hook us in. If it's something we've already, well, I'm very much like this. If it's something I've already, once I finish something, I kind of put it away mentally.
Yeah.
And then when stuff gets added to it, I go back in, but I'm kind of, you know, I've moved on.
Yeah.
This is kind of great because it's not just like you're back in the same area with some new shit to do or whatever. It's like it's a separate thing in the menu. It doesn't come off the main world or anything.
Yeah.
It's its own separate thing. It's its own separate story. It's one of the characters is the same, but then there's two new characters. There's new mechanics. It almost could be a sequel. Like it,
right.
I think it only takes about 6 hours to clear, but yeah, I mean, if they'd put, you know, a couple more worlds and a couple more characters in, it would have been, there's enough new shit in there for it to feel like a whole new kind of kettle of fish.
Yeah, 6 hours is definitely longer than one of those worlds took as well.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's, and I think they've said that there's like double the amount of cutscene stuff in this as there was in the actual main game.
Cool.
So there's like a lot of care has got, it's not just like they've, you know, some DLC feels like, just put some of that shit in there and whatever. This is,
and the first ones for this kind of did as well, where it was just like
challenge packs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But this feels like, yeah, they've actually gone away and, I mean, they've redesigned this, they've designed this whole new area. Mm. And so Donkey Kong as a character is great. Like he can pick up characters and throw them as well as like blocks. So like pretty much any blocks that are on the playing field, he can pick and chuck to somewhere else.
Right.
There's like vines and stuff that only he can swing on. So if there's like vines positioned in one of the levels, like he can get around really quickly. And yeah, then you've got Rabid Cranky Kong who, yeah, has a bunch of different, you know, just kind of tweaks of little elements that some of the other characters had but kind of like merged together to make him feel different.
Yeah,
and then Rabid Peach is in it as well. And it's not like the main game where you find new characters and then you can customize your party. You just have those same three for the whole thing.
So you can't bring Donkey Kong and Cranky Kong into the older game.
Into the main game.
Okay,
No.
Right.
But yeah, it's like...
That doesn't make it seem more like a sequel.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And yeah, like the cutscenes are all really well done like they were in the first game. The story's still stupid as hell, but again, you can tell that the studio making the Ubisoft have, you know, they have a lot of affection for the characters that they're working with. Yeah, and just like, you know, I hadn't played that game since I finished it and just... Yeah, reminded me how much I loved it. Just great to be back in that world and playing those levels and doing all that strategy shit is super fun. Like, that's the other thing about DLC. I sometimes find that if you haven't played it for a little while, you'd sort of like, oh, I've forgotten how to kind of do everything.
Sure.
But this I kind of picked up pretty quickly again. And I guess that's a part of that is because it has to tell you, like, oh, by the way, Donkey Kong, you can do this. And you're like, oh, yes, that's right. You get one of these each per turn and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
But, yeah, it looks great. And in the same way that the first game was kind of riffing on a lot of the, you know, elements from the Mushroom Kingdom in the music and stuff like that and the design of the world, it's all that sort of stuff, but with, you know, the Donkey Kong elements, like the map. No, there's bits of Donkey Kong music that are kind of remixed to be through here as you're walking around the map and stuff. Yeah, really great. Like if you've got Mario Rabbids and you liked it, it's a no brainer.
Yeah, nice.
Definitely recommend. And there's also now a retail version that's like the gold version that's got this included in it that I think came out the same day that this went digital. So yeah, definitely recommend that. It's fun.
Favorite DLC of all time. Go. I've got one while you're thinking of it.
Why don't you just say your one that you wanted to say then?
I don't know. You're usually quick on your feet.
Well, not with something that has to be the definitive answer.
Bioshock Infinite's Burial at Sea DLC is great.
Yeah.
I really like it because it takes you back into Bioshock, into Rapture, and it does it really well. It looks great as well.
And it kind of improves the ending of that game.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It was in two parts, right?
Yeah, that
was good. Mass Effect 2 had some fucking awesome DLC.
Yes.
This would be up there for me, even though I haven't finished it.
Yeah.
It's just such a great... Yeah, it's like, this is what I loved about the first one. Mm. It's in a new area. It's got enough little tweaks, but it still feels familiar.
Or
the Mario Kart 8 DLC, which anyone who's played Mario Kart 8 Deluxe just got all that included.
Right.
But I think like two of those cups... Oh no! Eventually, four of those cups came out as DLC.
Yeah,
so
right.
Just loving that game and then being like, "Hey, here's a bunch of new tracks and shit," was sick.
Yeah,
the Undead Nightmare stuff for Red Dead was always a cool idea,
mm-hmm.
and I never really liked how it actually played for some reason.
Right,
there was something off about the zombie world. Mm. It just wasn't as good as the main game.
I think I honestly tried it once, didn't like it, and never. Played yeah. it again.
It was the same with the GTA 4 ones where it was like, oh, awesome. They made these two big more content and it's big and whatever and it's like proper single player games.
Was that like the Ballad of Gay Tony? And
yeah, and the Lost and Damned.
Yeah, yeah.
And neither of them just, I think I didn't like the way the driving felt in GTA 4.
Right.
And it just never really hit.
Yeah. I definitely only played GTA 4 because it was like the latest GTA game.
Yeah.
It was never my favorite one to play.
No. What else was there? Like, most DLC's been pretty like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's like, totally, the, yeah. The
it's rare that it's like, hey, here's a story or an actual... I never even did more than about half an hour of that Zelda one, but I was really looking forward to that. And then, by all accounts, those dungeons and stuff sounded fun, but I really was holding out hope that it was going to feel...
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that it was just stuff dropped into... the world that we'd already done heaps of stuff in.
And it did feel like more of that game and not the strongest part of that game. You know, there was other stuff in the main game that was better.
Yeah.
So it just felt like getting... And because that game is so massive and you're discovering all this stuff, it just felt like, oh, yeah, just another thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the Fallout 4 DLC was, because there was some that was just like you can build robots and you can like build another house. But there were at least two... story DLCs that the strength was like just the bumming around general strength of the normal game.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, you can keep walking around shooting stuff and stealing things.
The Fallout 3 DLCs were really good back
what
in
were
the day.
Fallout, what were they?
They did like five of them, and the first two was like, I can't remember what the first one was. There was one where you went off to like this separate area where there was this fighting pit. And then there was one that...
That sounds like one of the Fallout 4 DLCs.
It could be. It extended the end of the game, you know, and it had like a hard end at the end of 3.
Oh, yes.
You like woke up afterwards and it was like, here's some more Brotherhood of Steel stuff.
Yeah.
There was a really good one when you went to this like swampland. That was the one I remember well. Was like, it was basically Louisiana or something.
Mm.
And you went down there and there was all these different animals and big fucked up alligators and whatever. And you went in this big old southern mansion and it was cool.
Okay. DLC.
Do like. Cunt.
I've also been on the Switch.
Nervous Den I've always heard good things about as well. That's Bioshock 2's DLC.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
On the Switch, I've been smashing that Bandicoot button for the last week.
Yep.
I got the Crash Bandicoot remaster.
Oh, shit. Played some of that as well
on Switch.
I got it on the PC.
Ah, right, yeah. Whoa. So it came out on everything.
I
but
think
the
you
PS4.
Mean what? I can't do crashes. Whoa,
what does he do? Like
he goes like
wow,
kind of yeah. Except for this fucking one in the remade thing where he's just like yeah. It's so weird. His
good
voice
day, mate.
it's odd.
So we
like
did
it.
You play it last year on the PS4
no.
or not?
I
we,
did.
We both did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we had Mark Bonanno on and we talked about it then.
Yes.
I think that may have almost been exactly a year ago.
Just about,
it was June, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And I remember at the time being like, yeah, it's winter and I've been getting into bed early and playing some Switch, and if this was on there, I would be playing a heap more of it. And well, yeah, cut to a year later and my wish has come true. And look, I think that this game has definitively proved something that I've been accused of for a very long time, and that is that I have an absolute bias towards anything Nintendo. Because I remember, I think when we talked about it a year ago, I was like, this game is fucked and it's too hard.
It's too
and
hard,
it
yeah.
handles badly. Cut to a year later, I'm playing it on a Nintendo console going, this is the best game I've ever played in my life. I love this game more than life itself.
Yeah, you're like, why is it a forwards platformer? That doesn't make any sense. I can't judge the jumps.
I think it's a bit of a thing of like, I had no idea what to expect when I played it. I'd never played it before in the remaster. And so what's funny is people playing the remaster for the first time last year when it came out on PS4 were playing it with a nostalgia of the game that they played when they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing this re-release of it on Switch with nostalgia for the thing that I played half an hour of a year ago.
Yes, fucking hell.
It definitely, I have that nostalgia for the PS1 games. and I'm not really enjoying them today.
Oh, really?
Like, just the way it controls and stuff and just little annoying jumps and falling down these fucking dumbass pits is just annoying.
It's just hard.
It's a kind of a game.
And like, hard in not a satisfying way where I feel like there's anything I could have done half the time.
Yeah.
Hard like, oh, yeah, I guess I didn't know that fucking hole was right there.
Yeah.
You got me. Yeah. Good trick, fuckhead.
Like, all that stuff is true. I'm really enjoying my time with it just purely because I've been getting into bed and playing it for... 40 minutes. Just like, I like being able to play a little platformer in, just before I go to sleep.
Yeah.
Were it any other time of year, or were I not living in a friend's spare room and actually had my PlayStation 4 connected, I probably wouldn't be as into it. But yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I think it looks great on the Switch.
Right.
This is the thing I wanted to mention. I've read a couple of reviews of it that have mentioned like, oh, yeah, it's pretty downscaled from the PS4, which, like, I just feel like we all know that the Switch is a less powerful console. There's kind of no need to bring... If you're reviewing something that's also out on the PS4, unless it is severely to the detriment of it being playable, there's kind of no need to mention that it runs better on the PS4. Like, we all know that.
This
you know?
Has been Nintendo shipped for 12 years now as well, since the Wii came out, basically, is, oh, well, it looks good for a Wii game.
Yeah.
It always was.
And I mean, if you have them side by side, then yeah, sure, it doesn't look as good.
Mm.
But, you know, I've been playing it handheld. The colors are bright. It looks good. It runs well.
Like, I guess it's just a consumer choice thing of like, if you have three consoles and you care about it looking and performing really, really good.
Yeah. But you already know that, if you know, without a review of a Nintendo version of it telling you that it's not to scratch.
You should.
But also,
that's
by the way,
I got, the PC one was the cheapest one, which is the main reason I got it.
Yep.
Right.
And also, it runs at 60 frames a second, which kind of is nice for a game like this, where it's precise shit. But it doesn't really make a huge difference because you've still got these old like clunky PS1 controls.
Yeah. Right?
So.
Also, not that I've played it, and I probably won't get it on the Switch. But by all accounts, the port of Wolfenstein 2 came out last week, and by all accounts is runs well
on
the Switch.
I've heard that too. Yeah, it's made me want to get it. I never got it on PS4 or anything else. So.
Right.
It's a shame that the game is bad, well, but it is a fun little roller coaster thing that is not worth the price of a full Switch game, I would say.
Okay. Luckily, I have disposable income and nothing else to do with my life. So
yeah, it doesn't matter about disposable income. You vote with your wallet in a capitalist world and don't let the bastards get away. No, it's fine. It's not
I think that the Crash port is a really good port.
Mm.
And currently on Metacritic, the Wolfenstein one has a high score.
Yeah,
so
right.
It seems like they've done good work. And of course, it's been downscaled, but they've managed to do it without having to, you know, sacrifice the playability of it or whatever.
Yeah, my current issues with games and like this stuff, the technical aspect, is never really like how high is the resolution comparatively, because like I have bad eyesight. It's always like frame rate and stuttering and stuff like that. So if it runs smoothly, then fucking that's all I need.
Yeah,
frame rate often doesn't bother me even that much as well, like as long as it's consistent and it doesn't get in the way of shit. Like fucking like Bloodborne had some of the worst shit hitching up, and I love that game, and there's a bunch of things like that.
Frame rate doesn't...
Fucking Ocarina of Time ran at 18 frames a second.
Yeah, true. You know,
it doesn't matter that much unless it's a really specific... Like, if you're playing a really twitchy shooter or something, then it does matter because it affects shit.
Don't movies run at 24 frames per second?
Yeah, and like, it's weird, but because games are different.
I guess they are. I guess that's true.
Frame rate doesn't bother me, but yeah, like if you go from something like Doom, which is 30 on the Switch, to then like Mario Odyssey or Mario Kart 8, which is a smooth ass 60, it's like you do know, it's like, oh boy, this is a clean ass time.
It definitely looks better, but I don't think it not being there makes the game unplayable.
No, some people totally. Will.
Fucking pretend they think.
Yeah.
Or pretend that they're able to see as well.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you're a hawk person.
Yeah.
But
it's guys with little overlay, you know, screen overlays with counters in the top right hand corner. Yeah.
Do you know what? I saw a big fucking LG OLED massive screen in a JB Hi-Fi the other day, and fuck me, they look good.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, it looked really good and it made me want to get one. But you know what? I ain't killing someone for the money, which is the only way I'd ever get it.
There's always
if
like
I pulled off a hit.
There's always like with Breath of the Wild. I remember seeing a video where someone's like Breath of the Wild, but it's in 60 frames per second, and they've like taken footage and redone it, and you watch it, and it's like okay. Cool.
Yeah.
It looks a little smoother.
Remember watching the fucking Hobbit?
Oh, yes.
That was at 100 frames a second or something.
Oh, really?
I've never seen it.
128 or something.
It's like too many.
Yes.
And it looks sickly.
It looked like an episode of Neighbours.
Yeah.
It looked like a soap opera because it was, it was just a digital video camera.
But Crash, in the UK at least, is now the, I think it's the fastest or highest selling Switch game.
Right. Them so I've been taking Myst.
Yeah. Them Brits, they're absolutely loving that little Bandicoot,
well,
aren't
crash
they?
It up, mate. Crash
you
it
mean,
up.
Crash Bandicoot? Is that who you're talking about? I can't believe you didn't say Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, I didn't think of it.
You love banter, though.
Yeah. I know, I do love banter.
I remember being like on a trip with some British people recently.
Mm.
We'll go into why later. But
will we?
Nah.
Your girlfriend's British, is it that?
It was just one guy very sincerely said, God, I'm loving the banter on this trip.
That's
and it made me laugh really loudly because I imagine Tommy being there just pointing at him going like, you're British!
Yeah, that's 100% what would have happened.
Yeah. Would you like, so describe the vessel of beer you'd like. Is it a pint of lager? You know, it's a British thing.
Oh, right. Oh, right, me mocking the British.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's, yeah.
I didn't understand that either.
It's funny because when we in this country, when we talk about banter, it's only to mock the British and the way that they talk about it.
Yeah.
The British will talk about it in one of two ways. They'll talk about it in a way where they are mocking themselves for the use of banter.
Yes.
They'll also use it in a way where they are being absolutely sincere about a mode of conversation that they're enjoying.
Yeah.
I imagine this guy, he also similarly would get it, oh, yeah, look at you, you're loving the banter, you know. But he's also, you know, he also just genuinely does love it.
It's the way we treat the word riffing.
Totally.
Yes, exact same
word.
Yeah. Some great riffing this episode, guys.
It's the same as, you know, how Americans always used to, and they don't say it anymore, but this is in the old days, they always went, the thing about Johnny, this is Carson, the thing about Johnny. He was always in there with a line.
Mm.
He always had a line.
And did they sound like they weren't American?
It was Jack Nicholson that I was doing. He was always ready with a line. They used to love lines and now they don't.
Okay.
I was dealing with an American recently over email in a business capacity.
Okay.
And multiple times over email he said to me, let me ask you this. And then like said the thing. It's like, over email. I found it weird to have an affectation that is like very vocal based.
Yeah.
Like typed out in an email to me.
If you've had anything go wrong with something on a computer as well, Americans really love to say, go ahead and.
Yeah, right.
Because in all of those tutorial videos on YouTube, they go, now go ahead and click on file and then go ahead and click on restore. Okay. Go ahead and click on exit and then go ahead and before
go ahead
everything,
and
it's
subscribe,
go ahead and.
Rate and review.
Anyway, how about you go ahead and tell us what you've been playing this week, Ben?
All right. It's a big game. It's, you could describe it as a dinosaur of a game. No, it's Jurassic World Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A dinosaur of a game.
A dinosaur, so what? It's old and shitty and...
It's old and big.
Slow.
I guess.
Not all dinosaurs are big, though.
Created by...
That's true.
Yeah.
He's some fucking real, got you there, man.
There's some real little ass ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's playing a fucking...
A compo. Yeah.
God, I'm loving the banter on this podcast.
Jurassic World Evolution, it's a tie-in video game. Might be the first one we've ever reviewed on the podcast.
Definitely not. Surely not.
First tie-in?
Like a movie tie-in. Like a...
Yeah.
Actual tie-in to a movie that's
come
out.
What about that fucking Goof Troop one that Tommy blew his dax over?
Was that
tied in with the movie?
No, that's just based on the TV show.
Just goofy?
Blew his dax over.
Just a bit of banter, mate. Maybe.
Is that an actual phrase?
blew
his dax over. That's, oh, man.
It's a twist on Creamy's jeans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a new twist on an old classic.
Yeah.
Chuffed his hoofs home.
Oh, man, I'm loving this Jurassic video game.
Yeah.
Jurassic World Evolution. So this is Operation Genesis 2, right?
Yeah, Operation Dumbo Drop. another great tie-in game. Yeah, basically, which I never played. I never played Operation Genesis. Mm. But this is basically, you know how tie-in games are often like aping the style of popular games or existing games,
mm-hmm.
but because they were probably rushed out, just had a little bit less, you know, yeah. detail, a little bit mm-hmm. fewer features.
They're all on mobile now.
They are really. On mobile now, yeah. But this is a zoo tycoon game with fewer features and dinosaurs instead of zoo animals.
Right.
So it's good. I like it. It looks beautiful. Like visually, it's quite well crafted and detailed. And the sort of general mechanics of like you need money to buy dinosaurs to make money to buy more dinosaurs is there. It's good. It all works. There's nothing flawed about
it. That's basic capitalism, man. Nothing flawed about that.
Yeah.
You need money to buy dinosaurs.
You start with a Compsognathus and you end up with a T-Rex. Wow. That's the Australian dream.
Want one of them white picket brachiosaurs.
Yeah. Yeah. Electrified picket fences.
Very nice.
So
clever
it's,
girl.
It's thank you. It's very.
I wonder how many fucking podcasts in the last couple of weeks have said "clever girl" on them?
Oh yeah, we should.
Jurassic World coming out.
We should.
Nah, I'm gonna do every Jurassic Park joke.
Fuck.
Don't try and stop me. Hold on to your butts. I'm doing all of them.
Oh fuck. It's a good game if you like this kind of game. If you're predisposed to Zoo Tycoon, Roller Coaster Tycoon, Cities Skylines. This is a fun version of it that you will probably get sick of within like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just right in that sweet spot for me of like dinosaurs and city building management games.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's overpriced though for what it is. Like I paid $90 for this. And it's a limited feature version of Zoo Tycoon.
Get a load of money bags over here.
Dude, you could have bought a fucking Compsognathus for that much.
I think
you could be rolling around in that dinosaur money.
I think they're more expensive than $90. I think they're like $100.
If you want to get like the gold edition dinosaur.
Yeah.
I bought Crash on the day it came out and it was $49 at JB, ooh, which was a deal they had for one day only.
Oh, yeah. They love that.
Do they?
End of financial year.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen them do that before.
No, launch day. Launch day deals.
I bought fucking Mass Effect Andromeda a day too late and paid $20 extra for the privilege.
Yeah. They do launch day deals.
I've never seen them do that before. That's sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like I was playing the market, walking down to Berkeley Square and getting a year old port of a fucking 20-year-old game for only $49.
I bought it for like $33 on the PC, something like that.
Fuck.
I think. Yeah.
He knows how to play the stock market.
Man, don't even step at me. I'm buying the cheapest stocks and I'm hoarding them.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum does the actual voiceover in this game.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's
actually
mad.
Him.
Well, there's where that money's going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. Like it's not the best written stuff. In fact, some of it's the worst written stuff. But it's
how do you write a description? How is it bad writing?
Like it's just poor writing. Like it's just he.
But like, what is he reading? Like, what's happening? I don't understand how him reading out. Like, and now click on the.
No. It's more, you know, like it's more expository. You know, it's like, right, well, this is Xylus Sauna, and it's just descriptive stuff that is worse written than the movies.
Right, right.
So it's affecting his style and that shit. There's also fucking Bryce Dallas Howard's character is in it.
And that's probably a bad idea for someone who knows they're writing for Jeff Goldblum
to
write towards Jeff Goldblum's style, because then it's going to be double amplified.
They should have just written it straight and had him improvise the bits.
Yeah, exactly, because that is Jeff Goldblum's style.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So I think Bryce Dallas Howard actually also is the voice and the Bitty
Wong.
Who
gives a fuck?
Bitty Wong, but Chris Pratt is impersonated.
Oh, really?
Right.
Poorly.
So I go like, hello, I'm Chris Pratt. I didn't agree to be in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that.
Impersonating his character from Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Is this a mouse rat? That's his band from Parks and Recreation. You can buy a mouse rat in the game.
And so it's not like broken or anything?
No. It's not broken and it's not like super, super feature limited. It's just like I can already see the edges of this expanse.
And I guess they did that because they had to get it out to tie in with the movie.
Yes.
And that seems like an impossible task, but Frontier Developments who made it seems like Frontier Developments found a way. Hold on to your butts, motherfuckers.
Oh, did you see this movie like last
week?
These
jokes do move in herds.
Oh my God.
This motherfucker. Are you looking at a list of quotes?
No. I was looking up who made the game.
Oh, yeah.
I promise.
I felt so certain you had him there.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck, I thought. But yeah, to do an actual general review of whether you should buy this game, it's got about five islands. So each the first one's sort of a tutorial. The second one introduces more environments.
It's got about five islands, so buy it.
So five out of five, I guess.
That's magic, so many islands.
The magic number.
Dude, you can buy five islands for $90. What are you not? What are you going to pass up a savings?
And you get to talk to Jeff Goldblum. It's fucking sick. I've been talking to him all the time. He keeps just telling me about game stuff, but I tell my feelings.
That's the best visual. Someone thinking they're on the phone to Jeff Goldblum. Whoa, Jeff! How did you get my phone number? And then reroute it to come through my television.
And like, I get the controls now. You don't have to keep going over them, man.
Five islands.
And each one is not particularly big. The terrain sort of limits where you can build. So it really kind of funnels you into certain outlays.
Layouts.
That's the order in which those go. Yeah, certain layouts. So it also like imposes certain limitations on you through that, which can be frustrating. You can't just like build a big fucking park, basically, which is what you kind of hope to do. And maybe you can later on, but I don't know.
Is the music in it?
Yeah, the music's in it. That classic Michael Giacchino score.
That is really.
He did the Jurassic World.
Wasn't it?
Oh, okay. John Williams originally.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I was going to say that is one big pile of shit that you've just told me.
Now you got to be looking up quotes.
Yeah. Nah. Just looking at my phone.
What's on the screen?
Would you say that maybe this game didn't need to be made and they were so preoccupied with whether they could, they didn't stop to think if they should?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's actually a fair question.
I think a little bit, but also I think they put a shit ton of effort into it. I think that the tie-in thing probably is what limited it. Because everything that's in there is really well done. It's really polished.
Yeah.
Like it plays super well. It's very smooth. And like I said, that sort of complicated little loop of resource management and building and stuff is really solid.
Right.
And it's quite fun. And I'm just, you know, whiling away the hours doing it. And there's nothing frustrating about it except the limits.
This sounds super similar to how Operation Genesis was, which was that type of game with dinosaur dressing. Really cool.
Yes.
I can't get this park back online without Dennis Nedry. But the other thing about them is these guys have actually made several of these tycoon games as well, which explains shit.
Oh, really?
They made Zoo Tycoon.
Right.
They made Planet Coaster, which a lot of people have said are good.
Yeah.
Elite Dangerous, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they made a few of these. Roller Coaster Tycoon, a couple of them.
Yeah, fuck. So it really is like that, one of those games with sweet looking dinos, and they do look amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can get into the Jeeps and drive them around and, you know, trank dinos and fix fences and all that shit. You can pilot a helicopter. It's just like, not as hugely sort of complex in depth as deep as one of those roller coaster tycoon full ones. But I'm liking it. I'm not sure it's worth $90.
Yeah. Sale?
Yeah, yes. If you like that kind of game, maybe go in now because I am really enjoying it. But if you're on the fence, electrified fence, like the reference I already did.
What's that from? Think of another movie with an electric fence. Rabbit Proof Fence?
Oh, man. I don't know if that's cool to say.
It's just got the word fence in it. That's my only reason.
Deep Blue Sea had electrified fences.
Well, no wonder if it was... No, that doesn't make any sense. No wonder if the fence was in the water, but you don't want to be in the water.
You don't want to be...
If the fence was already electric, it makes the water...
It still isn't safe to go back in the water.
Nice. Nice. Well, boys, how are we feeling? Is that it?
I reckon we were already scraping the bottom of the barrel about 30 minutes ago.
I think at the very beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
Well, we did it. We made it through. We talked about some games. Yep. Come see us at our live show next Saturday, the 14th of July, 4 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe in Melbourne. Going to be a lot of fun. Got a lot of fun stuff planned.
Yes,
looking
we
forward
do.
To Milton. Looking forward to milking each and every one of the filthy animals that comes down. So yeah, if you could do what you can to make that easy for us, we'd appreciate that.
Bring your own bucket.
Yeah,
and we will fill it.
Yeah, tickets online now, filthycasuals.com.au, as well as all our socials. Mm. Loving the emails that come through. Thanks to everyone who takes the time to get in touch with us.
Yes.
Get on the Patreon if you'd like to support the show and get bonus episodes and more content and stuff like that.
A lot of bonus things planned already.
Yes, yes.
Coming up.
A lot of bonus things planned and a lot of us having to stockpile episodes because we're all going to be away for a month.
Yes. And we're going to do some fun ass shit.
Yeah. While we're on holidays.
Yeah. Look, boys, you know, this was a bit of a loose one. All I can say is I hope that it's at least as popular as the episode that we did where we talked about how we're at E3.
Yes.
If this is half as good as that, then I'll be able to die a happy man.
I will say as well, we've got a bunch of emails and stuff from people saying they really liked it.
Oh, great.
Because we did sort of put out on socials like, oh, we've had some complaints about that.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about this on the show, did we?
No, we didn't.
I don't think we need to.
We don't necessarily need, but I do want to say thank you for the people who were like, that was funny, I enjoyed it.
For some
reason,
you
guys are comedians, and that is why we listen.
Yeah. Made everybody very vulnerable.
We got in here and we played funny buggers for an afternoon.
Yeah.
Because we had to go away and we thought it was better to spin our wheel. It's better to have a crack at something different than to sit there and spin our wheels.
Yes.
And guys, you've just heard what an hour of wheel spinning sounds like. So now you can make the call over which you think is best.
Yeah. There is always the third option of no episode at all.
Clip show.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Dr. Grant, my dear Dr. Sattler, welcome to... Oh, it doesn't have the rest of the quote. I don't know what could be at the end there.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.